Greeting in Jesus' name to each of you this morning. The worthy name of Jesus. Thank you for your prayers on my behalf. I certainly need those, and I appreciate it. Appreciate your prayers. So I was thinking maybe I need to make some apologies this morning, first thing. I was sitting there this morning and I realized that last Sunday when I was superintendent, I said the offering was for the school, not realizing that it was this first Sunday when it was for the general fund. I don't know how I missed that, but I did. And then this week we got a notification that we were on for having the youth tonight. And I discovered that after I volunteered to share this morning, I went to the poll and I punched there February 8th and I didn't look which poll it was. So I'm not sure how that works for all of you that are involved in that, but my apologies. I told Dan I think I got a little bit of old timers going on. Anyway. Well, anyway, this morning I would like to bring a message. I've entitled it Coming to the Light, and I'd like to introduce the message by starting at 1 John chapter 1. We'll read that, and then we'll go from there. I'd like to go to chapter 3 of the Gospel of John then. John liked to talk about the light. In John chapter 1, he talked about the light. 1 John 1, he talks about light. And Jesus talking to Nicodemus, he talked about the light. So anyway, that's where we want to go this morning. 1 John chapter 1, I'll read that this time. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So John here was given an invitation, wasn't he, to the people he was writing to. And he said, you know, we've witnessed, and we've seen this light. We've seen with our eyes, we've looked upon, our hands have handled. It's like we have a firsthand account of encountering the word of life. And his invitation was to come and have fellowship with this Lord of this word of life. He said, I would like you to join us. Have fellowship together and having fellowship with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And what was the message that he said he had? And this is a message, verse 5, that we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light. Now, I was thinking that there's only a few things that it's in the Bible where it says that God is this. But this is one of them. God is love. And we know there's lots of things that God is that isn't, maybe not necessarily said that way. But here it says, God is light. And then it says, in him is no darkness at all. And that's kind of my main point of reading this part. In him is no darkness at all. And I think the implication there is saying to us that we are not that way. Can you say this morning there's no darkness at all in you? And the rest of this little passage talks about us coming to the light and walking in the light. It's like, you know, when it's talking about walk, it's talking about the way we live. And I don't know about you, well, maybe I shouldn't talk about anyone else, but maybe just talk about myself. And I cannot say that in me is no darkness at all. I found in my walk of coming to the light that I discovered that, there's some things I hadn't seen at all. And it's like a blind spot, you know. Just didn't see it. It's just not, you know. So what I like about, one of the other things I like about this passage, in verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And that's talking about a present, continuous thing that's happening. And that's the way I like to look at walking, coming to the light this morning. There's a reality of us initially coming to the light, but then there's this present continuous journey of coming to the light. And I don't like to separate the two. I think it's like one seamless flow. At least it should be. In my experience, I think I've had some regressions in the process. But that's what God wants to do. He wants us to keep coming to come to the light and keep coming to the light. And I like this thing about being cleansed from sin. It's not something that he just does once and done, but it's as needed over the rest of my life. He keeps on cleansing. The blood of Christ cleanses us present and continuously. And I'm not a Calvinist, but it's like every sin that's still that I'm going to commit in the future is already covered by the blood. That doesn't mean we can't walk away from Christ, but past sins, present things, future, it's all taken care of in the blood of Christ. Well, if we say we have no sin, or we say we have not sinned, why, you see what it says there, pretty strong, pretty clear. We're a liar. The truth isn't in us. So let's be truthful this morning about our journey, and I want to try to be that too. So now turn with me now to John chapter 3. I like to read a portion here. John chapter 3, coming to the light. I would like to say this morning that I'm not bringing this message because I think someone here needs to come to the light. It's not focused on anyone. This is more kind of a, maybe I should say, kind of a testimony of my own life and walk and experience. So I would like to kind of come at it at that. Because I know this congregation here believes in honesty and transparency, and and believe in making it a place where that can easily happen. And I'm not sharing this message because I don't think that is happening here. Just you'll understand better once I get into the further into the message. I'm blessed to be a part of y'all, and you make me feel safe. All right, let's read John chapter 3. I'd like to read some verses here this morning as well. Just to get a little context, I'm going to be focusing more on the verses in the last part of this reading. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know, and testify what we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So let's talk about Nicodemus a little bit here as we begin in this part. He's an intriguing character in the gospel. And I wondered as Jesus got to the last part of where we were reading there, we started talking about the light, if he was thinking about Nicodemus coming in the dead of night. You know, he was doing this a little on the sly, perhaps. I'm reading into it. It doesn't say that, but I'm thinking he probably was a little concerned about being, because of who Jesus was, and he was not accepted very well of the Pharisees. And this man was a Pharisee. He's a ruler. He was a part of the Sanhedrin. And as we think about coming to the light, I wonder, was Jesus encouraging him to come to the light? I think so. And do you think he ever came to the light? Well, I don't know. I do know that it says in John chapter 7 that there was a discussion of the Sanhedrin about what they're going to do with Jesus, and it was pretty negative about Jesus. And then Nicodemus said to him, he said, this is from the NLT, is it legal to convict a man before he is given a hearing? I mean, he kind of stood up for Jesus a little bit. And they retorted to him and said, well, you're looking in the scriptures. Is there ever been a prophet come out of Galilee? So they discounted him because of where he grew up and where he lived. Isn't that something? But you know, he also helped Joseph of Arimathea give Jesus an honorable burial. His disciples weren't anywhere around, but he was there. So I don't know. I don't know anything more about Nicodemus. Maybe you know something about Nicodemus after that. But I think you know, Joseph of Arimathea, he was a secret disciple of Christ, and maybe Nicodemus was a bit of that too. I don't know. So we're talking about coming to the light, and I think that's what Jesus was encouraging Nicodemus: come to the light. And for me, like I already said, it's a process. It's something that we need to do initially as we come to God, who is light. But it's something it's a process through the rest of our life. So let's start thinking a little bit about, if we're supposed to come to the light, then we're it talks about darkness and light, contrast there. So what is darkness? What would you say darkness is? I you know, we could just say sin is darkness and living in sin. It says here in these verses, he that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light. So he's in the dark. He that doeth evil. So for me, I like to broaden out a little bit. It's a place of condemnation. None of us like to be feeling condemned, but I think when we're living in darkness, and maybe some people, I don't know, but my experience is the darkness is a place of condemnation. Maybe some people live in darkness. It says here they love darkness. I'm not sure how that all fits into. I think, in a way, we sometimes are what? He says we love darkness. We're kind of, it's kind of a maybe a comfortable place, or maybe a secure place in a sense, where we're, you know, we're hiding there. It's like a place to hide in the darkness. But it's a place of condemnation, where we're guilty. We're living under condemnation. It's a place of unbelief. And I like to think about it, it's a place of living in unreality. Hiding who we really are. And we're kind of loving it there. Not being honest and transparent. So God is calling us to come to the light, not to be living in darkness. What a really a miserable state to be in, condemnation and unreality and all that. It says here, he that doeth truth cometh to the light. So, not doing truth is part of the darkness. But being truthful and honest and transparent, that is part of coming to the light and being in the light. So I'd like to encourage us to come to the light and to walk in the light, like it says in 1 John. Well, I was not too long ago, I was speaking to a young man. I don't know, maybe probably, I don't know, it was early 20s, maybe 25, I'm not sure. And he was talking about his experience a little bit and how he was
He was estranged from his wife, and he was told that she didn't want him to be around him, and he didn't want her around him. But she did invite him to go to church with him. And he told me, he said, you know, and there was things going on in his life, and he's been trying to come to the light, but he said his wife has told all the church people about his life. And he said, it's really hard for me to feel like walking in there. And I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about, in my own experience, what has hindered me from coming to the light and standing in the dark. Maybe you've never been there. You've always said, I can't wait to get to the light. And, you know, in our life, in our experiences, coming to the light isn't always the same for every situation. Some are a lot easier, you know. Different things have different stigmas. And so that can make it more difficult to, you know, be exposed and come to the light. And I don't know where to put all that. I think I've made some comments about some things about sin sometimes that I wonder if I was accurate. You know, I just like, sin is sin, so, you know, why do we categorize them? But sin has different effects. Different sins have different effects. If you have a wrong thought and you're sinning in your thought life, and we know that can translate into action, but the way that affects people may not be the same as, say, you know, you're thinking about murdering someone or you actually go murder someone. That's a little bit different effect on the people, so other people. Anyway, I'm not sure where I was going with that. That's kind of got, but anyway, for my own experience, what hinders me from coming to the light? Why do I love the darkness? And I just have a list of things here. And the overarching thing is we're proud. I'm a proud person. And I think most of the things I'm going to share here are because of my pride. But in my experience, I was worried about what people will think of me. Worry about what people think of me. Well, you know, that's pride, isn't it? Worry about my reputation. I'll try not to spend too much time on these, or I'll be here too long. I did want to say this in relation to pride. God resisteth the proud, which that is a very strong word if you look it up. God resists the proud. It's like he actually works against you, but he gives grace to the humble. So humility is what we need as we come to the light. We need to lay the pride aside and be humble. One of the other things that hindered me from coming to the light was attempting to change myself. I've got this problem, so if I get it taken care of and it's in the past, and I could talk about it, okay, but if it's something current, so if you could just get it out of, you know, deal with it and get it out of the way, so you kind of like really work hard at it. What do we call white knuckling it? Work real hard at transforming ourselves. That doesn't work very well. Another thing I've done is I've procrastinated. So you know you got to deal with something in your life, but you keep putting it off. There's always a better time. It's just, you know, it's like, well, it just doesn't, it's not a good time. Well, probably might be true. When is a good time to come to the light? Well, right now, but when you're in the darkness, it doesn't seem like there's ever a good time. And I was thinking about Felix in Acts. He said, well, Paul, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. And it doesn't say any time in the scripture you ever found that. So, you know, I'm a great procrastinator. You know, one of my philosophies is put off to tomorrow whatever you can. Because I got too much to do today. So I guess I'm a professional procrastinator. One of the things that hinders me from coming to light is fear of becoming vulnerable. What does it mean to be vulnerable? You like being vulnerable? No, I like to have a nice big wall around me. Lots of protection. You know, being vulnerable means you're open to maybe being wounded. Or vulnerable, or capable of being physically or emotionally wounded. That's a scary place to be. And so, for me, I'm like, keep that wall around and keep hiding in the darkness because that feels safe. It's not really, but that's how it feels sometimes. Fear of rejection. That's kind of goes along with being worried about what people think of me. Or maybe not being forgiven. Fear. So there's fears involved. Like I said, not everything's the same. Some things are a lot more acceptable in a sense. And I don't know where to put all that, like I said before, but I've had fears of being rejected, of not being forgiven. And of course, then there's shame. Shame is a painful emotion caused by consciousness of guilt, shortcoming, and impropriety. It says in Ephesians that it's a shame to speak of those things which are done in secret. And so, you know, because of our shame, maybe I know I have, because of shame, not wanting to come to the light. Another thing I've done quite a bit of is rationalization. You know, in my own mind, if I could just get past, not if I wouldn't be guilty if I could rationalize that it's okay what I'm doing. You ever done that? I've done that. I think it's something that's easy to do. So you rationalize in your mind, and you're just like, okay, it's. I really am not in darkness. I really don't need to come to the light because it's okay. It's amazing what kind of gymnastics you can do in your mind. I've done quite a bit of that. But you know, so it's like when you come to the light, it's like costs you something, doesn't it? It's like you just kind of got to put yourself out there. And you got to say, I don't care what it costs me. I'm going to be vulnerable. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be transparent. I'm not going to worry about what people think about me. Do you think that's where the prodigal got to when he left the pig pen? I think so. He's like, I don't care what it costs me. I'm going to go back and just be a slave. Have someone just control me totally. Tell me what to do and. Slaves weren't necessarily treated also very nicely. I mean, he's going back to his father's house, so maybe he had some hope for being half decent, but He came to himself, it says, the prodigal. He came to himself and he started thinking. And he said, you know what? I don't care what it's cost me. I'm going home. And I was thinking about this in relation to coming to the light. I was thinking about the lady who had the issue of blood. Remember her? She was, I don't know. Why do you think that she came to Jesus and just pressed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment? Maybe I read too much into things, but I think she was afraid. I think she was afraid of being exposed. It was kind of a stigma involved in her condition, and she was like unclean. And maybe some of the people in the crowd would have like, what are you doing here? I don't know. But you know, Jesus, he felt that little touch. And I like that. Sometimes we just need to take that little step and stick out our finger. Jesus told her, be of good comfort. Be of good comfort. He really blessed her for taking that little step. And sometimes we just need to take the little step. Take that first step. Get out. Start walking away from the pig pen. Let's head back to the Father's house. Well, I was talking about my struggles and come to the light. Now I'd like to think about a little bit about things that I do that make it difficult for others to come to the light. Things that I my attitudes and my maybe we can. I'm not sharing these things because I don't think these things are not in place here. It's just, like I said, kind of a testimony of some of the places where I've been. And I'm thinking more, also continue to think about the prodigal son. And you remember why that story was shared? Why did Jesus share that story? It was because of the elder son, wasn't it? He was being criticized by the Pharisees, and then he shared this story. And in the story, the elder son represented those who were critical of him. So, a lot I've had. Plenty of attitudes like the elder son in my own life. And I like to think about some of that. And maybe it could be an encouragement for us. I don't know. But I'm blessed to be a part of this congregation because these things, I feel like these are things that we want. And I'm blessed by that. Well, I think the first thing I have in relation to making it difficult for others is my lack of compassion. My lack of compassion for people. When I think about some of my ministry in Texas and my lack of compassion, I'm like, wow. You know, compassion is understanding or relating to how others feel. It's like entering into their situation and their struggle and really caring about their situation and the things that they're facing. I mean, it's really, I've been times where I've been very callous and unfeeling. and relating to someone who's struggling. And that's one of the things it said about Jesus many times. It said he was moved with compassion. And I know a lot of times maybe we can't enter into a person's situation because we've never been exactly there. You know, if it's something that we've experienced, it's easier to enter in, you know. But even without that, we should have compassion and be able to try to relate to the best we can. It says Jesus, it talks about him, this is a quote from the Old Testament, it was talking about him, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax he will not quench. And the Living Bible says this, he does not crush the weak or squash the smallest hope. And I think that's compassion. And God wants us to have that. He wants me to have that. Another thing I've had is a struggle with is lack of forgiveness. You know, it makes it difficult for people to come to the light when we don't forgive people. And I had a situation at one time I was working with where it was a very grievous situation, and the person that was hurt. Well, I should say, yeah, the parents of the person who was hurt had a very difficult time forgiving the one who hurt their daughter. And they said, well, I just can't forgive them. And sometimes it is really, really hard to forgive certain situations. But it makes it difficult for the person who's endeavoring to come to the light if we have those kind of attitudes. And I know forgiveness isn't a once and done thing. There's a song I may have mentioned this before, that says forgiveness is not a line you cross. It's a path you take. So it's not like it's something you do one time and then it's over after that. It's all settled. But it's a journey. And sometimes you got to cross that line again. Or maybe you could call it a bridge. It's not a bridge you cross over, but it's your bridges that you're continually going over. Here's another one that could be a hindrance for coming to the light. And that's gossip. You know what? That's an interesting thing, gossip, isn't it? Sometimes we blame it on the one side of the house and more than the others, and I think that's very unfair. Really. Really, that's not fair. We all have I know I've had, you know, it's like, did you hear? Or do you know? And have you heard? It's like, you know, it's like, really, those could be hindrances for people coming to the light. We have these stories floating around, and they, you know, I wonder sometimes how many people who endeavored to come to the light through gossip said, just forget it. Just forget it. So maybe if you have something to say, you should go talk to the person about it instead of talking to everyone else. And that's a good thing for me to remember. Proverbs 11:13, a gossip goes around telling secret, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. I think that's in the Living Bible. One of the things I think I've hindered people coming to the light is my lack of gentleness. And maybe that goes back to what I was talking about earlier a bit. Lack of compassion, lack of gentleness. I thought it was interesting in 2 Corinthians where, in 1 Corinthians, you remember Paul told the church you're supposed to deal with the man who was in an immorality. You remember that? And then when he wrote the second book, in the second chapter, he said, you know, be careful that you don't just pile on so much that the person gets discouraged and gives up. And it's like you just really just come down too hard on the person. You need to be careful. They become overwhelmed with excessive sorrow and despair. And I think that goes along with Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, where it says you need to restore such a one with a spirit of gentleness, a spirit of meekness, that is, gentleness. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. That's humility. So there's this humility and gentleness that we need to exercise, and not harshness. And I can see that in my own life where I've been harsh. And it makes it difficult for people to come to the light. You can discourage them. And God help us to be gentle and and humble. I think one of the things that makes it difficult for people to come to the light is my own lack of awareness of my own needs. That kind of goes along with the prior one too. Consider thyself, lest thou also be tempted. But you know, it's really easy to put on facade. Is that the right word? Facade of being, you know, you've arrived, you're mature, you're pretty much perfect. And we have this fog or haze about the reality of our own needs, of my own needs, and I have this facade I put on, not really being open and transparent and acknowledging my own needs. You know, and people look at that and they say, well, I'm never going to measure up. I can't measure up to that. I can't be a part of that church or that group because those people all got it all together. But if we're real about our own struggles and faults, it makes it easier for other people to come to the light. If we're honest and we're open about our struggles. Well, I guess if you're perfect, you don't need to do that. But I don't think there's anyone here like that. At least I know I'm not. So let's be, our openness and transparency helps people come to the light. Here's one that I struggle with, and I'm not sure how to say it. I'm looking at the wrong clock, so we're going to be here a while. No, I'll try to close here shortly. I wrote this. This is in my notes, and I don't know how to. I don't want to be have the wrong impression, but. I don't give people the freedom to fail. Now, you're going to say, now you're giving people license to sin. No, that's not what I'm saying. It's interesting that in John, after 1 John chapter 1, where he says everything he says about coming to the light and everything. Chapter 2 starts out with, he says, I'm writing these things unto you that ye sin not. And then he says, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And that's kind of what I'm saying here. I'm not saying I'm giving you a license to sin, but the reality is we're going to need the advocate with the Father. I need it, and you need it. And so it's in my attitude toward the person that I'm thinking about here. And, you know, people are in different places. And sometimes coming out of the darkness, coming into the light, is a difficult journey. And maybe there's some fits and starts. And so what are you going to do about that? And how are you going to relate to that? Is it okay? You know, and it seems like it isn't the same. It seems like some people, I mean, they come to the light, and it's like the thing that they were maybe a special thing they were dealing with and coming to the light about is like cut off, and it's not an issue anymore. But for some of us, it's not quite that way. It's like, what do you say? It doesn't just all go away overnight, and it's a process, more of a process for some people than others. I'm not sure how to. Where to put all that, but maybe my attitude ought to be more like, instead of where is this person at today, is where have they come from? How far have they come? And maybe they've actually gone a lot farther than I have, even though we think they have a lot farther to go, and maybe they do. So maybe we ought to have, I'm not sure. Maybe I have difficulty dealing with all that because I haven't taken time to enter into a relationship with them and understanding where they're at and where they've come from. Anyway. Here's another one I think hinders people from coming to the light is a lack of trust. I and I don't know where to put this one here. This is difficult because sometimes people destroyed our trust. And just to say, well, you just need to trust me is not a good attitude on the part of the person that broke the trust. But on the other hand, we can't just hold people at arm's length. And so I like to think of it this way. You remember Ronald Reagan when he was dealing with the Russians and about nuclear warheads and all that? He entered into a treaty, but he said, does anybody know what he said?
Trust but verify.
Trust but verify. That's right, trust but verify. So he's like, we're going to enter into this, but we're also going to keep some accountability here and make sure that it's happening. And so I think there's a balance there that sometimes I have difficulty. And it's sometimes we simply don't know how to relate. At least that's how I am. I have a difficulty trying to. And I think broken trust, it takes time to restore that. But let's not hold them at arm's length. So I think another thing that I've struggled with is maybe not willing to give the intensive care needed to assist those to come to the light, or maybe not knowing how to do that. You know, you feel kind of, I don't know what to do in this situation maybe or whatever. And that can be But we need to be willing to give of ourselves and to be able to reach out and to welcome. It says in Romans chapter 15, receive those. Receive one another. Welcome one another. And just have that attitude of openness toward each other. And so this morning, I don't know, I feel like I've struggled sharing this message. Not sure how it came across, but I appreciate the church. And I think this is where we want to be. We want to have a safe place where it's okay to come to the light. We have attitudes that as we relate to those who are coming to the light of openness and receiving and helping and encouraging. And it's safe. It's safe to be real here. And I'm thankful for that. And I guess I'd just like to, like I said, it's kind of a testimony of my own life and where I've been, my own struggles and needs. But let's help each other come to the light. All of us are on that journey. I've got more coming to the light to do, and you do too. So let's help one another and be an encouragement one to another. Thanks for letting me share this morning. God bless you.